What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes, your 2 cents of basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And it's officially December, guys. It's getting cold out there, but here to give us his hottest takes, and he'll keep you warm. I am joined by the one, the only, back from his podcast sabbatical, the man whose name I almost forgot from his absence, Rafael. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just a little bit concerned because we didn't discuss anything about keeping other people warm before we started recording.
With your hot takes.
So I just want to make it clear that I might want to keep you warm depending on who you are, but we might have to check it first. So it's not like that easy that I will keep everyone warm.
I just meant from your hot takes, not from anything else.
Don't get it twisted.
It's been a while since it's been only the two of us together. So
just the two of us?
Yeah. So it feels weird, weirdly nice. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about your Blazers. We're going to talk about both LA teams. We're going to talk about who's becoming one of my favorite players, Luka Doncic. And we're going to talk about the city jerseys.
I think that's why I've been away for a while, because I've been trying to digest the news that Carmelo Anthony is now playing for my team. That's like the worst nightmare ever for me. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But actually, I was away for work. I was traveling. I went to Ecuador, but it feels great to be back.
Didn't bring us anything back, so
we will discuss that later.
Okay.
And also, shout out to Evans that it's not feeling well. Yeah, I was not able to record today.
The Sandmaster, he's out with a cold, so he's not going to be joining us today. All right, let's get started because you already spoiled the first topic. Let's talk about your Blazers and their newest addition, Carmelo Anthony. He's now a member of the Portland Trail Blazers. Now, before we get started, you already gave us a little bit of a tease of how do you feel, but tell us how you really feel.
No, I feel horrible about it. I really didn't like it. Well, because you guys know how I feel about Carmelo Anthony.
Been pretty clear. Yeah.
I feel like he's been retired for a long time. It was just a matter of, assuming that he was retired, that he had no passion for he no longer had passion for the game. But now, I mean, of course, since he joined the Trailblazers, I actually started cheering for him, and I want him to, you know, be as good as he can. And if he can find his passion again, that would be great for the team. So I cannot say that I'm supporting him, because I would be going too far if I try to say that I'm supporting him. But I hope that he proves me wrong. And if it seems like he's going to prove me wrong, which is making me feel, I have a mixed feelings right now. So I'm happy that we are doing better, but at the same time, I'm sad that he's proving me wrong.
So
if that makes any sense.
Let's take a step back. The Blazers had a bit of a horrible start.
Yeah. Right?
They went from being conference finalists to one of the worst teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Up until today, which is December 1st, their record is 8-12.
Mm-hmm.
And then Damian Lillard went out with a bit of an injury, and there was no one that was producing that offense for them. CJ McCollum is not having a great start of the season, but that's not atypical from him. He usually takes a while to sort of warm up in the season. Damian was having a great start, but then he cooled off.
Yeah. I think the main issue, though, Rodrigo, and we forget about this because it happened last season, but Nurkic is the one that we are missing, and it's really what is hurting us. Because
but do you think that Nurkic would make that much of a difference?
Well, he did last season. He was that third option when he came to the offense, but also he made a lot of smart plays.
Right.
So I think that the fact that he's not playing was really hurting us. And you never know what to expect from the Trailblazers, really. Sometimes I feel like we have a horrible team and then we do well. Sometimes I feel like we did a horrible job during the offseason when it comes to trades and signing free agents and so on. And we overachieve, and then sometimes we underachieve. So I don't know how to feel about the Trailblazers.
I feel you guys definitely overachieved last year.
Yeah.
But you had the base of a good team. And then you guys got rid of Alvaro Camino. You guys got rid of, what's his face? Oh, he went to Miami. I forgot his name right now.
Who are you talking about?
Well, you guys didn't re-sign Enes Kanter. Not that it made that much of a difference.
Yeah. The thing is that when it comes to paying, or I should say overpaying free agents, I think that it's pretty clear that our ownership is not willing to do that. We didn't do it with Batum. We didn't do it with Crabbe.
Alan Crabbe?
Yeah, we didn't do it with him. Wesley Matthews. All of these guys that were, you know, mediocre or a little bit above mediocre talent,
right,
but were lucky enough to come up in a time where they're going to get paid millions and millions of dollars. Ownership made it very clear that they didn't want to overpay them. And that means that we are constantly looking for that supporting cast.
Now, all of this forced the Blazers to look for something out of their team, right? And who was the most proven talent out there, available still in the market?
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo Anthony. Now, in the past six games, he's averaging 17.7 points per game, six rebounds, two assists, and he's shooting 80% from free throws, 37% from three-point land, and 46.2% from field goals. That's not terrible.
That's impressive. When was the last time that he did this? I mean,
I don't know.
We would have to go back to his Nuggets days to be able to find stats like that.
No, probably early Knicks days, probably.
But I mean, as far as efficiency, because with the Knicks he was shooting a lot. I don't know about the shooting percentage
Knicks
and so on.
Early Knicks days, probably he was still, you know, big time Carmelo Anthony. He's helped you guys win a couple more games. The crowd seems to like him a lot. He's putting a lot of effort. And he said this is not a retirement tour, that he plans on sticking in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Blazers, with Carmelo Anthony, a healthy Damian Lillard, a healthy Nurkic,
mm-hmm.
and a more productive McCollum, can get back on track?
I think so. And I think that, you know, it makes sense to invest your money in someone that you know that has the talent, because if you compare Carmelo to the other guys that I mentioned that ownership didn't want to overpay, Carmelo clearly has more talent. However, it's a
are you defending Carmelo?
No.
First, this is
wait. However, it was always a matter of, you know, finding that passion again and you know, wanting to dedicate his time to basketball. And maybe I think maybe he was also a victim of the Knicks franchise, that it's so you know, disorganized that all the players get frustrated. Maybe sometime during his Knicks days he stopped caring. And my concern when we signed him was that the Rockets tried to, you know, invest in Carmelo. The Oklahoma City Thunder tried, and it didn't work for both of them. So he had two opportunities to prove that he could find that passion again, and he failed. So that's why I was so concerned. But maybe he needed that time away from the NBA to, you know, find his passion again.
It sounds like you're defending Carmelo Anthony.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to be as
it sounds like you're justifying him being good in the Blazers now.
Actually, I feel like I'm being as unbiased as possible. I'm trying to give good analysis here.
I don't know if that's happening. I mean, he's having a good few games, but we'll see. I'm kind of glad that he's back. I don't know. We were just talking about off the air about an apology form that is doing the rounds around the internet. Are you going to fill out the apology form to Carmelo Anthony?
No, there's nothing to apologize about. I mean, all the things that I said about his previous, whatever, like 10 seasons were right.
No, it wasn't that bad for the past 10 years.
So, I mean, I think great for him that he's managing to turn around his career, but it's not going to erase what he did in the past. So
he joined the team with a non-guaranteed contract, and in a couple of weeks, actually, it's going to become guaranteed, because after December, I forgot what's the deadline, all non-guaranteed agents get guaranteed contracts,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's going to get paid in the end, which is, I guess it's good for his services. And it seems like he is producing. So I don't know. Maybe this is a good thing for the Blazers.
As long as it's not like a 3-year deal or 4-year deal, I'm fine with it. But also I know that if he does very, very well, and if it's a 1-year deal,
yeah,
by the time the deal is about to expire, he's going to want to get paid, and we're not going to pay him. And then he's going to end up somewhere else. So I know that either we invest on him now and we commit, or if he does well, he's going to want to move on and get more money.
Yeah, that's his future is a little bit uncertain in the NBA, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But if he has a good season, then I'm sure that other teams might take a look at him. And you guys could also sign him and then use him as a trade chip later on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what you can get back from him at this point, but it could be out there in the future.
But Portland is a good market for him. I mean, it's a city that it's very, you know, passionate about their NBA team, very That's supportive. True. It's not common to see big stars choosing to come to Portland. So they are very appreciative when it happens. We had the example of Scottie Pippen when he played with the Trail Blazers. It was a very good run that he had with the Trail Blazers. And I think people are very happy to see Carmelo playing for the Trail Blazers. I think it could work. I mean, I think he can stay for a couple of years and
retire a Blazer?
Yeah.
Would you be okay with him retiring as a Portland Trail Blazer?
As long as he's, you know, performing up to the expectations.
Okay.
And he's not like, he doesn't become a bench player, then I'm fine with it.
Well, you guys don't have much of a team right now. So
yeah.
He's for sure a starter at this point.
Yeah. So I think I'm fine with it for now.
Okay. Yeah. Let's leave it at that. There's a chance we might see him live because we might go to a Blazers game in late December, but we haven't bought our tickets. So that really depends.
And also, I don't expect him to be like to be scoring 36 points every game or double doubles and triple doubles and so on. That's not what I expect from him. If it happens, that's great. But I want him to be like an efficient veteran player that can produce 15, 18 points per game and, you know, a couple of assists, and we can count on him when we need a quick bucket.
Yeah.
So I don't expect him to carry the team. That's not what we want for him, really.
And it seems like he knows that this is Damian's team,
mm-hmm.
but we'll see. We'll see. It's still early in the season, not super early, but, you know, it's still young enough that these dynamics can change and get established a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on your Blazers?
I don't think so. Let's wait and see.
Let's move on to what really matters.
What?
Let's talk about the two LA teams, the powerhouse Lakers and the Clippers, who are also pretty good. It's been over a month of the season. Everything that we expected from the Wild West is sort of true. A few teams have been disappointing, but the two teams that are in atop of the conference are the Lakers and the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone expected the Clippers to be really good once Paul George came back. And the Lakers were expected to be good, but I don't think that they were expected to be this good.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lakers are, as of today, we just lost against the Mavs, 17-3. And the Clippers are 14-6. So in your eyes, and from what you've seen so far, which LA team do you think is more dangerous, the Lakers or the Clippers?
I think that the Clippers have a more, you know, complete or overall cohesive team. And I think the Lakers are more talented for the regular season. You might see more highlights. But when it comes to the playoffs, I think the Clippers will be a more balanced team.
Okay.
I don't know if you agree.
I agree and not. I think that the Clippers still don't have an identity.
Mm.
They do have a lot of... They are a defensive team because of Kawhi, Patrick Beverley, Paul George, Montrezl Harris. It's usually you that has the problem with names, not me.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're still... Like, Kawhi is a very quiet leader, and so is Paul George. So the emotional leader is Patrick Beverley.
Mm-hmm.
But who is the real leader of the Clippers? Is it Kawhi? Is it Paul George? Who's going to take the last shot at the end of the fourth quarter?
So who was the leader of the Raptors last season? Was it Kawhi?
It was sort of Kawhi, but everyone knew, like, it's Kyle Lowry.
Mm.
Kyle Lowry was the leader of the team, right?
Mm.
He was the one that was the sort of the emotional leader and also the guy that would, you know, yell out when it needed to be or would calm things down.
Yeah.
But Kawhi, it was known that Kawhi would take the big time buckets.
Yeah, because Kawhi is like a quiet leadership, is more like a lead by example kind of thing, right?
Sort of.
Yeah.
But, you know, LA is a market where you need that visual leadership, I feel. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers have that in LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Davis is playing out of his damn mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're both having an MVP season so far. So I agree the Clippers have a deeper team, but I don't think you can count out the Lakers in a 7-game series.
No, for sure. I mean, you never know what can happen during a playoff season, a playoff run, or even a playoff series. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
You never know what can happen during a playoff series. But I feel now, right now, I feel like the Clippers have a more balanced team. But let's wait and see. I also feel like the Mavs are like really a team that you should keep in mind in the Western Conference. We're going
to get to the Mavs, well, specifically Luka in a bit. But from what I've seen from the Lakers, I didn't expect them to be this dominant, to be honest. I thought we were going to be good. I thought we were going to be like fourth, fifth place good, maybe top three, but I wouldn't have guessed that we would have one of the best records, or as of today, sharing the best record in the NBA with the Bucks. And we went on a 7-game winning streak, and now it was a 10-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
So we've only lost 3 games so far. And those losses have been, you know, the first one on opening night against the Clippers, which was a really good game. Then we lost against the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of just sleptwalked through that game. And today against the Mavs, they beat us by like 20 points.
Mm.
So they definitely earned it. And it felt like the Lakers were tired. So not to take credit away from the Mavs, they definitely earned that win. But, you know, we've played some good teams so far. And we have a tough schedule for December. So that's a good test for the team.
Yeah. I think this will be a very interesting season for the Western Conference, and I also feel like it will be interesting to see if the Eastern Conference contenders can you know make themselves relevant again.
Yeah.
Like for example, the Bucks will be interesting to see if they have managed to, you know, become a more complete team and not as predictable, because last season when you got to the playoffs, I think that they had a huge issue with that. Everyone knew what they were going to try, and eventually someone found a way to defend it.
Yeah. See, I think that's the problem with the Lakers. You know, when we get in trouble, it becomes a lot of iso ball for Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what becomes predictable. And LeBron, there's been times, that's when LeBron needs to step up and just take over, because then that'll open up the game. And Danny Green can be such a good player, but sometimes he disappears from the court.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of frustrating to see that he has so much talent, but at the same time, he decides to take himself out of the equation, and he goes on these spells where he cannot drain a three. And we need that. We need those threes. We need Alex Caruso to come out of the bench. And Kuzma to also be more of a factor.
And dunk the ball. I like when Caruso dunks the ball.
He's good. Yeah. That kid is good. Yeah.
It's impressive.
The bald mamba.
But, I mean, it's one of the most interesting seasons in I don't know how many years. Because, really, it's wide open.
It is.
You really don't know what's going to happen and who's going to win. We can try to predict a little bit, but you know,
it's tough. Yeah.
It's not like the past seasons that you had like clear contenders. Last season we didn't expect the Raptors to win at all.
True.
And maybe if the Warriors didn't have all the injury trouble that they had, I think it would be very tough for the Raptors to win at all. It was fun to watch. Especially being here in Canada. But this season, I mean, really, it's open. It's wide open.
I mean, speaking of the Raptors real quick, they're doing a lot better than anyone expected. A lot, lot better.
Yeah.
They're second on the Eastern Conference with 14-4. And yeah, like you said, it's wide open for any other top three teams on each conference, I would say. Having said that, there's, you know, we know that the Bucks, the Raptors, the Lakers, and the Clippers are probably the favorite teams, or the ones that are supposed to make it to at least conference finals.
The Bucks, the Raptors, the Lakers, and the Clippers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so.
What about the 76ers?
I had Joel Embiid as my MVP candidate, and I've been disappointed from him. He went scoreless against the Raptors a couple of weeks ago. He's getting himself tossed out of games from getting into stupid fights. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not what the team needs. The 76ers need a leader, and that's supposed to be him. And just Ben Simmons' reluctance of taking a three for the life of him. I mean, just shoot it out there, man. I know you're listening to the Dropping Dimes podcast. Just shoot it out there. There are people that are worse three-point shooters than you. What's the point? I mean, just shoot it out. If you're not going to try,
you're not going to get better. Are you speaking out of experience?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, okay.
If you're going to give me the three-pointer, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to just take a couple dribbles inside and go for the long two. Just take the damn three-pointer, man. Come on. That's his job.
Yeah.
He's getting wide open. I'm getting upset now. Let's move on. Jeez. We were supposed to talk about the Lakers and how awesome they are. And I ended up talking about Ben Simmons' three-point shooting percentage.
Well, it's a great thing that I was able to come and record with you. Otherwise, our listeners would have to deal with like 50 minutes of Laker talk.
Laker special.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you think the Clippers are more of a threat, just to summarize?
Yes. At this point, yes.
I'm going to stick true to my character and just say the Lakers are, because we have other people in the bench that might be able to contribute. And you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are by far the best duo in the NBA. By far. Both of them can score 80 points easily.
I mean, I don't know what to say against that.
Thank you.
I agree with you.
Because we're the number one team in the NBA.
Okay.
Take that.
Okay.
At me. Everyone.
It's been a while,
at
right?
Me. It's been a while.
How does it feel?
Oh, it feels awesome.
Okay.
Everyone, every time we win, I'm rubbing it out in front of everyone. I'm just posting it on every social media outlet that I own. So, yeah, I'm being very annoying. But I embrace it. I like it. I like being annoying. I missed it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
It's going to be fine.
It's been 10 years, man.
Yeah.
Or so, since we were this good.
When was the last time with Paul Gasol and Kobe?
Yeah, the 2009-2010 Lakers.
Yeah.
So it's been 9 years. Well, we went to the playoffs after that, but it's been a solid 9 years. Yeah, 8 to 9 years of not having a successful season. And having this record this early. So I'm very, very excited.
Well, imagine how the Nets fans felt last season when they finally had a decent season after how many years? I don't know.
I know now what the Clippers feel.
The Clippers.
Years and years of having a horrible team, they finally have a good team. I don't blame them. You know what? Embrace it. Just move to San Diego. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, because at least for our generation, then the Nets, for example, they sucked most of the time. But they had Jason Kidd.
Those couple of years were good. Yeah.
Yeah. But then all the other years?
I think the Clippers are by far historically one of the worst teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been until, you know, the Lob City Clippers that things turned around. Basically, when Donald Sterling was forced to sell the team.
Yeah. And also for our generation, the Celtics struggle a little bit. When I was a kid, it was when they were struggling even to make it to the playoffs.
But the Celtics have this funny thing where they have waves, right? They're really good and they're really bad. And then they're really good, they're mediocre, they're bad, they're still good. They go in waves. But I would say they're usually successful. Yes, there were a couple of seasons where they didn't make the playoffs, but that's really it. All right, let's move on to talk about Wonder Boy, Luka Doncic. He is becoming one of my favorite players ever, I think.
Yeah, he's great. We had the chance to watch him live, and it's impressive. It's amazing.
I don't know. You can tell that he's having fun playing the game.
Yeah.
And he takes it seriously, but he has fun playing basketball. He's averaging, this season, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting 82% from free throws, 33% from three-point land, and 48.3% from field goals.
Yeah, I mean, he's the complete package because he's very skillful. He's, strong. He's tall for a point guard. He's the complete package. He's almost like a point forward, right? He's like built like a forward.
I think he's the definition of a guard. Like he could do 1, 2, 3 without a
like
problem.
Like a combo guard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's not a fantastic defender. He's not bad either. Mm-hmm. He's not bad. But just the way that he conducts himself, he's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been in this position before when he was playing for Real Madrid
mm-hmm.
back in Spain. And it's just amazing to see how ready he is for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Trae Young, who's also a great player, but it's nowhere close. It's almost day and night.
Different style as well. I mean, also, there are two types of point guards in the NBA right now that are very impressive. So Luka, that I don't think there's anyone else that we can compare to Luka.
Yeah.
Because of the way he's built and how intelligent he is when he plays and how skillful. And then you have Trae Young and Stephen Curry that are very smart as well, but they have quickness that I don't think Luka is as quick as them, right?
True.
As far as like ball handling and skills, I think they're both the same level.
Yeah.
Or the three of them, I should say. One guy that I feel like he's very skillful, but he didn't manage to fall into either category is Ricky Rubio. If he was stronger, he could be like Luka and taller. But if he was quicker, he could be like Stephen Curry and Trae Young. But he's like there, right there in between.
I think the problem with Rubio is that he also never developed a consistent shot. Versus Luka has a very nice shot.
And same with Curry and Trae.
And Trae Young. Like you said, he's strong, so he can defend bigger guys. He's not as quick as Steph Curry, but you know, he's a little bit thick. He lost a lot of weight though.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that baby fat that he came in with from Europe, but he's just plainly amazing. And that's him being so great is what has propelled the Mavs to be on the fourth spot in the Western Conference, and I would consider them a lock for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Unless something horrible happens, which I hope not, but Luka Doncic, I think, is one of the closest point guards that we're going to get to Magic Johnson.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, someone that is tall, strong, has a flashy play style,
mm-hmm.
and yet is consistent.
Yeah.
And he's a superstar already.
Yeah. I feel like we all knew that he was very good before he came into the league, but nobody was expecting him to be this good and become like one of the most important players in the league so quickly. I think it was very fast.
So he was picked third
mm-hmm.
in the draft.
Same draft as Trae Young?
Yeah, same draft. And that was the trade, right? The Mavs traded for Luka.
Exactly.
And then the Hawks got Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
How stupid do you feel if you are the Suns and the Kings to pass on Luka?
Well, but the Suns, we already know that they're very stupid.
They're not doing bad.
Yeah, but I mean,
horrible.
I mean,
worse.
It took them probably 5 years more than it should to be able to rebuild that franchise just because they're very stupid.
Yeah, fair enough. But I think if you're the executive of any team, you know, I remember we talked about that particular draft in the podcast, just saying that we both have watched Luka playing with Real Madrid in European tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And we both said, like, this kid is going to be really good. Like you said, we didn't expect him to be this good. But if you're an NBA executive and, you know, you were on the camp of like, no, he's overrated,
mm-hmm.
I think you should be kicking yourself in the head right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of overrated, I saw on Instagram, you know, Michael Porter Jr. from the Nuggets,
mm-hmm.
who couldn't play all of last season and he's just playing a few minutes, I think. He liked a comment on Instagram from someone that said that Luka Doncic was overrated.
So, I mean, is he playing now? Is he back in action?
You know what? I don't remember seeing him.
There you go. Irrelevant. He's very irrelevant. Otherwise, we would know.
Yeah, exactly. So, he is playing. He's averaging 3.7 points per game.
Oh, great.
9 minutes per game.
Good for you.
Yeah. I think that's super salty. Check yourself, Michael Porter Jr. Yeah. Luka Doncic is a superstar. Actually, I might indulge and take advantage of Cyber Monday if there's any sort of sale in NBA.com or Nike and buy myself a Luka Doncic jersey. I'm a believer.
Hmm. I wonder if someone from the Mavs organization listens to the podcast.
If you're part of the Dallas Mavericks, you know that I'm a Lakers fan, but I love Luka Doncic. So please send a jersey. Not the city edition, though.
Mark Cuban, I'm not sure if you're listening, but I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan. I really think that you are an example on how you run your franchise. So
maybe don't say that.
Okay. But anyways, let's move to the next topic. Let's get to the real point.
Dear Mark Cuban, please send us Luka Doncic jerseys. You're sincerely the Dropping Dimes crew.
Please.
Thank you.
Yes, that's what I meant.
All right. Let's move on from... Also, Luka needs a better nickname. So let me look up here. But I think Basketball Reference has him as Wonder Boy. And I don't really like that.
And Michael Porter Williams is Water Boy, right? That's his nickname?
Michael Porter Jr.
That's that one.
I don't know. So let's... Oh, here. He's got several. I don't know where they came from, but... Matador,
I guess from probably from his time in Spain, yeah.
Cool Hand, Cool okay. Hand Luka, that the Don because
okay, Doncic, okay,
Wonder Boy, and Swaggy L.
No, Swaggy L, it's horrible.
All of those are horrible.
No, the Don, I like that one. I like the Don.
No, he needs a better nickname. Luka Doncic deserves a better nickname.
The Don. So Cool Hand is kind of weird.
Cool Hand, no. Cool Hand Luka, no. Matador, I want to like Matador, but I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
I think the Don is the best one out of this list.
I like Wonder Boy, but you know he's 20, so it makes sense right now. But when he's a true veteran, are we still gonna call him Wonder Boy?
No.
Wonder Man.
He's gonna be the Don forever.
I don't know the Don. He needs a cool nickname. Someone out there, please help us and help us think of a better nickname for Luka Doncic.
And also, if you're the Mavs, I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. And I have all the respect in the world for Dirk Nowitzki. But it really helps when you have a retired player running up and down with your team, right?
Ouch. I really like Dirk.
I really like him as well.
I feel like I'm a closet Mavs fan.
Mm. I really like him as well. He was a great player, but I think that he probably played two seasons more than he should have.
Maybe, but legends like him, they can get away with it. And I don't get mad at that.
And there's different styles of management, right? So Mark Cuban, he already showed to us that he's always gonna, you know, take care of his players, the ones that have really, you know, contributed to the franchise.
Right.
Look at JJ Barea, for example.
True.
And the same with Dirk, and we have other examples. And then you have Pat Riley, that he already showed us that when he feels like that player is not giving him as much as he can give the franchise, he's always ready to move them.
I think that was more of a salary issue with Dwayne Wade.
Well, but because he's thinking about business decisions, right?
Yeah.
Different from Mark Cuban, for example, that sometimes he will sacrifice the next two seasons because he feels that's the right thing to do for a legend player, right?
But, you know, Dirk, you know, you could argue that did it the classy way, you know, quote unquote. Like, he took a pay cut. He was coming off the bench because he knew that he wasn't the player that he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ideal scenario. But regardless, I think... If I were a team owner or a general manager, I would try to take care of my legends because then, you know, the next kid, say, Luka Doncic, you know, he can sort of see a glimpse of the future. Like, that could be me, mm-hmm. you know, being the face of a franchise and knowing that, you know, when I decide to call it quits, the team will support me and I'll still have a role with the team.
Yep.
I'm going to order my Luka Doncic jersey because... I haven't received any texts from Mark Cuban, have you?
No, not yet.
No, maybe he's on a plane or something.
I have a great website that you can use to order your jersey.
not the one that you showed me, no. All right, let's move on to our last topic of the day. The NBA City Edition jerseys were released a couple of weeks ago, or a few days ago, I should say. And here at Dropping Dimes, you know, we're fashionistas of the basketball world.
Mm-hmm.
We are... on top of the latest and the hottest trends in basketball clothing?
It's good that we don't have video because
we will soon.
Because
we
will people soon. Would. I mean, I think you guys already know that he's being sarcastic. But
if I meant it.
If we had video, it would be clear that we're being sarcastic because I am wearing 2XL Portland Trail Blazers shooting shirt.
It looks great.
It looks like I'm a rapper from the 90s.
Maybe that's the vibe, you know. Retro is back. The retro vibes are back.
Yeah. And you're wearing a...
I'm wearing a hoodie from
Capitanes.
Yeah, from the team that I support from back home.
And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what you've been wearing for the past 5 days.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
Close, but not. Anyways, as I was saying, we're on top of the latest fashion trends in the NBA. So we want to give you our top 3 best City Edition jerseys from all 30 jerseys that are now out there. We're going to have 2 honorable mentions, and I didn't ask you this, but I also want you to tell me which one do you think is the worst one.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start off with our honorable mentions.
I try to prepare and I look at the agenda and then you come up with like these things last minute. What the heck?
It's called being, you know, on top of things.
I thought we were professionals here.
It's called being quick on your feet.
Okay.
All right. Let's start off with the honorable mentions. Okay. So spots 4 and 5. Not individually, but I'll get us started. Okay. My honorable mentions go to the 76ers and to the Trailblazers. Because they went with a very classy look. It was, you know, the font is sort of retro. The Sixers went with their, I think it's from the 60s, if I'm not mistaken, or 70s actually. Oh no, that's not the one, sorry. They went with the script that says Philadelphia. It's sort of like italics.
But it's very similar to the one from last season.
That's why I put them on honorable mentions. Because last couple of seasons, they've done something similar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to, I mean, it looks great. It's clean. It serves a purpose. So I'm not knocking them out. But I'm starting to get a little bit used to it.
Yes.
Not tired, used to it.
Yeah.
And the Blazers, I really like the Rip City uniforms. The only thing why I put them on the honorable mentions is because when I first saw them, I thought they were white. Mm. But turns out that it's like a cream color similar to the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they would look better on white. But that's just me. It's still very clean. Very nice. I like the Rip City font. I like the stripes on the sides. It's very classy. So kudos to your team.
Thank you. So my honorable mentions, I'm going with the Mavs and the Bucks.
You're going with the Mavs?
Yes.
Are you serious now? You're in the minority.
I don't care. I like it.
It's a very small minority. It's an island.
Now, I should start by saying that if you are not creative and to come up with a new concept, you're not making my list. So Miami, I really like the Vice jerseys,
okay.
But I mean, it's been enough already. It's been like 3 seasons, right? So, I mean, you need to come up with a new idea.
Okay.
Same with the Sixers and same with Utah as well. Because Utah, they have...
Utah just straight up used the same one.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not going to make it, right? You don't deserve to make the list. So I chose, as honorable mentions, the Mavs and the Bucks. I understand that the Mavs might be a controversial pick, but I really like it. And I like the concept of the Cream City by the Bucks.
I don't.
Yeah.
Cream City.
It looks nice, though.
I like
looks
the nice. Look, but who wants to walk around with Cream City written all over their chest?
I also like the shorts. I also like the shorts a lot.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
But Cream City. I don't know. I don't know if I want to walk around with that on my chest. I'm not saying it might be the motto for Milwaukee. Any Milwaukeeans that want to tell us more about the Cream City moniker for Milwaukee, but I don't know. It's Cream City.
And with the Mavs, I think the reason why I picked the Mavs, they are probably the franchise that has been with their brand image the longest in the league. They haven't refreshed or they haven't redone their brand image in a long time.
Well, I mean, excluding the classic, you know, Lakers, Celtics, Knicks, Blazers, probably, yeah.
So I think that the fact that they were, you know, out there and tried to go with something different, I think they deserve some kudos. And actually, I think it's about time for them to, you know, take a look at their brand image and see if they bring back the brand image from the 90s when Jason Kidd was playing there. Because I like that logo and I like the colors as well. Because I think the current brand image, I think it's probably been enough time with that.
The first time that I saw the Mavs jersey, I was like, burn it to the ground. It's starting to warm up with me. But then I saw them live on TV and I was like, oh, God, that lime green and the font that looks like graffiti. Not even, it looks like the stereotypical graffiti, you know, that is just tag marks on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
I when I'm buying my Luka Doncic jersey, I'm not buying the City Edition.
I wouldn't be surprised if I end up buying one.
Okay. You're probably one of the three people in the world that is going to own a Mavs City Edition from the 2019-2020 edition. Okay. Let's move on to our top three. Let's do our third pick first. So, the bottom of the best.
Okay, you go first.
My third pick was the Toronto Raptors City Edition jersey. The all black with the old script of Toronto.
Okay.
And the details are in gold. So, they're similar to the OVO Drake jerseys. Or the ones that had the chevron that said north pointing up. I just like they took the old Toronto script from the dinosaur jerseys.
Okay.
Or it's not exactly the same because the second T is supposed to be capital. But yeah, I don't know. It looks good. They also did warm-up uniforms with the same design. And they look good. The black and gold with the Raptors, it works. It just seems to be working for them.
I have nothing against that jersey, but it didn't make my list.
Okay.
But I don't think it's a horrible jersey. I don't think that they were not creative enough. I think it's a nice jersey, but it didn't make my list.
Okay.
Number three for me, I'm going with the Minnesota Timberwolves. The MSP jersey. I don't really like the concept, but I like the I like the jersey a lot, and I like the color.
I like the color.
Yeah.
So they try to pay tribute to Minnesota St. Paul.
Yeah, to the airport, right?
No, to both cities. It's the twin cities, right?
Because it says here that it's the abbreviation as well as a tribute to the twin cities.
Yeah.
Is the airport abbreviation as well as a tribute?
Minneapolis St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So both cities, right?
Yeah. I like that one a lot, and actually. I think I should mention that last season I really liked their Purple Rain jersey as well. So it's been two seasons in a row that they did a good job.
We've known each other for a long, long time. And one thing, like, people always see us together and whatnot, but we're definitely not the same person. And this is one of those instances where we have clearly different tastes.
Well, sometimes
I don't hate it. I like the colors, but I think the Lakers did the Minneapolis tribute a little bit better because
mm-hmm.
they had the Minneapolis Lakers jerseys that were also like baby blue and MPLS in gold. It looks very nice.
Yeah, and actually it's great that we don't have the same taste for these things because we've been going to outlets together for like 13 years. So we would always end up with the same things if we had similar taste.
And also this episode would be a lot shorter.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
Yeah.
But okay, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I like the jersey a lot more than the shorts. I like the white stripe. Yeah, okay. I can get behind it. Okay. All right. Second pick. This is my bias pick. I'm going to pick the Lakers. Why are you looking at me like that?
I mean, it looks just like the regular jersey.
No. It's got a lot of intricacies and you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to the design. Let me explain.
Okay.
The City Edition is part of what the Lakers decided to call the Lore Series. So it pays tributes to all the legends that have been in the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we had the purple pinstripes that were sort of designed by Magic Johnson or a tribute to him.
Mm-hmm.
Not my favorite. I still got one. Anyways.
Not a good season also to
not
choose.
Not a good season.
To
yes.
choose to have Magic Magic's design, right?
I agreed, 100%.
Yeah.
So this year, it was Shaq's turn.
Okay.
And Shaq helped design this edition of the jersey. So the cut of the neck, it's sort of the Y cut that the Lakers used to wear when Shaq and Kobe played together in the early 2000s. We're not playing with that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers font has that drop shadow that is from, you know, sort of classic Lakers and when Shaq joined in 99-2000. We were still wearing that. It's a little bit darker than it used to be. And then the white stripe on the side says has three letters, M-D-E. And that's for most dominant ever.
Okay.
Which is one of Shaq's many, many nicknames. And then the panels have this triangular design that is supposed to pay a tribute to the triangle offense from which Shaq won three championships.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are three stars on each side of the jersey that pay tribute to some of the Lakers' retired numbers.
Okay.
So there's, I think it's a little busy. I don't think we needed the stars. I think just leaving the triangle pattern would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of Lakers history on this jersey. And that's why I love it.
Okay.
So I'm also going to get one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the kind of jersey that only appeals for that fan base, right?
Well, yeah. Who else? Yeah.
No, but I think that there are other jerseys. For example, the Miami Vice jersey. Yeah. It became a hit even if you're not really NBA fan, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So as far as potential to make money, I think the Miami Vice one had more potential because it appeals to a larger audience.
True. But yeah, I think there's a lot of history and it was almost perfect. It's a little busy, but I can deal with that.
Great. Okay, so let's go with my number
two. Yeah.
I chose the New Orleans Pelicans.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You have weird taste, man.
I like that one.
Really weird taste.
I like that one. And I mean, maybe you're going to be surprised by my number one as well.
I've been surprised by every pick so far. So you like the... Man, they already used it though.
Well, if you have a new the Mardi Gras edition, right? You have that one, right?
Yeah.
That one looks horrible for me.
Okay.
Very busy, so many colors. I don't know, that one it's almost like someone vomited on a jersey and then it came out with different colors. They ate gummy bears. So they had all the different colors.
So wait, I'm gonna call you out. You said that teams that didn't innovate didn't make it to your list.
Yeah.
You're contradicting yourself.
A little bit.
Because the Pelicans used the same jersey last season.
Well, maybe I was just not paying attention to the Pelicans last season.
Fair, but I feel like you have to pick something else to actually stick to
There's
your
nothing else that I can pick. I mean,
mandate.
There are several jerseys that I really, really hated.
That you hated. Okay, we'll get to the ones that we hated. All right, I'll let this one slip. But just so you know, you couldn't even stick to your own mandate.
It was not a fail. It's not that I failed to stick to my own mandate. It's just that I was not paying attention to the Pelicans last season because they were too bad.
Okay. Although there was a lot of news around the Pelicans, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they were not relevant enough.
Okay. Whatever. Let's move on to the number one. I went with the Miami Heat and their Vice jerseys. I think it's arguably one of the, if not the best City Edition jersey out there.
Yeah.
Similar, and I'm contradicting myself as well because I said that, you know, my honorable mentions were for the Sixers and Blazers and Sixers because it's very similar. But with Miami, they just look so nice. I mean, I think this is the last year that we're going to see them, the Miami Vice team, because they already did black, pink, and now this blue tone that I'm also going to buy.
But
wallet is also complaining at this point.
This blue tone, I've seen it before.
No.
No?
No. So they've done black, pink, and now blue.
Okay. They all look nice. They all look very nice.
The black one was, I think, my favorite, but then I saw this blue one and I was like, Oh, it's too nice. It's just so nice. I didn't really love the pink one. It was too bright for me.
Mm-hmm.
But this blue one has everything.
But they're difficult to come across, right? It's difficult to find one.
If you live in Canada, and not that I'm looking at this right now, but I have one saved on my cart. So if you want to get one, I would say get it right now, because they're gonna sell out. They're gonna sell out.
I wonder if Pat Riley is listening to the podcast.
Dear Pat Riley, can you please send us some Miami jersey vibes, some Miami Vice jerseys?
Okay.
Yours truly, the Dropping Dimes crew. But yeah, it's so nice. It's very Miami. It's probably the only city that has gotten 100% right the city edition jerseys.
That's actually a very good point.
And you're supposed to pay a tribute to the city, and this yells Miami.
Yeah, I don't know if you know, it's really something that we need to give them kudos for, because really they were very lucky that they found a great concept in the first season with the city editions, and then they realized that they had to keep that for a while. They are milking it, basically.
Yeah, but they're doing it right as well.
Yeah.
You know, I could see how, you know, the first one that was the black and had the pink font.
Yeah. That one was beautiful.
They just reversed it, right? Then next year was, the jersey was pink, and I think the script was white, or blue. And now they have all three colors in there, but it's very, very well done.
Yeah.
So I'm also getting a Miami Heat jersey.
Okay, and let's go with my number one, very controversial as always.
Can I guess?
Yes, you can guess.
Can I guess?
Yes.
So, if it was up to me, I think you're going to go with Denver.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, damn! Are you serious?
Yeah. The Nuggets. Because I feel like it's also a jersey that, you know, paid tribute to a period of their history, because they had the jerseys that looked like that for a while, right?
Wait, so I'm going to call you out again.
Why?
Because they did the same thing that Miami did. They had it in white last season. They just did it in black.
It looks better in black, though.
Really?
Yeah.
For someone that loves wearing black, I think they look better in white for some reason.
Hmm. Well, but anyways, I think that the other ones, well, we're going to get to that, but there are several jerseys this season that I didn't like at all.
I also feel like this is not necessarily the first season, but that I ended up disliking some more than others.
And we talked about this, you know, when the last season was almost done, or during the off season, we discussed the fact that now, because it's something that they must do every season, they must come up with a new city edition jersey. We discussed, or I think I mentioned that I felt like we would see some jerseys that the quality would be very low, just because they're just trying to, you know.
It's hard. I can see how it can be hard to come up with a different theme. But, you know, one team that I think did an okay job was Atlanta with their peach tree.
Eh.
I like them.
Yeah.
It's not horrible. They picked the food and sort of. And it makes sense. It sort of makes sense. Right?
Yeah. I don't know, but it's not something that it's going to make me really want to buy that jersey. It's not nice enough. Maybe their fan base will buy it, but I wouldn't buy it. Same with Boston. I don't think it's nice enough.
Okay, let's go with the ones that we think are the worst ones.
Okay. You go first.
I think my bottom three, the ones that I hate the most are... this is harder because there's a number of them that I don't like.
I know.
So I'm going to go with number three. I'm going to go with I think the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had something amazing with the town jerseys, and they in black, it doesn't look as good.
I think Cleveland looks... doesn't look nice, and also I feel like they're using the city edition as a way to you know, bring more attention to their sponsor, because, you know, the way that the font that they used on the jersey, it's basically making me think about Goodyear.
It's a mishmash, because it's a lot of history, because they're using the Cleveland abbreviation from I can't remember which decade. Like, it's a lot of uniforms put together, so I think it didn't really work out.
Yeah, and somehow it it makes me think about the Goodyear logo. So I don't like that because it's almost like they're trying to find a way around the sponsorship rules.
Actually, you know, scrap that. Number three, you know, the Warriors get a pass because they're doing horrible. I have a tie. So between the Pistons and the Pacers.
They both look horrible. I agree.
Then number two, most horrible, the Bulls. The Chicago Bulls. The all blue with red. You know, trying to go off the Chicago flag. But I think this blue is supposed to represent the lakes or something like that in Chicago, or the lake that crosses the city. I don't like it. The Bulls have such an iconic red, and the first city edition had more of the flag. It looked better. This one, I think the blue represents the tears of their fans. I don't know. I just don't like it.
I didn't like Oklahoma. Oklahoma City, I don't know.
It was a very nice concept because they're playing tribute to the victims of a terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the brown and black, yikes, I don't know.
So Oklahoma would be my second, number two. And your number two was?
Chicago.
Chicago. And your number one?
The Celtics.
Celtics?
And this is not just because, you know, they're our biggest rival, but have you looked at the jerseys? The font looks like out of an Irish pub. You know, your stereotypical Irish pub that might be called the Blarney Stone in many, many cities across the world. And it looks like they are sponsored by your local Irish pub. This looks like a jersey from a Sunday league that was put together last minute. And they're like, oh my God, what are we supposed to do? Like, wait. We're in Boston. We're Irish. Yeah. Just throw some Celtic font in there. It looks horrible.
And I think so that's your number one.
Yeah, I hate it.
What about the San Antonio Spurs? That's my number one. San Antonio Spurs is horrible.
It's been the same concept. I don't like it. I hate Orlando's. I hate
the
Spurs.
Sacramento, it's also not
Sacramento,
nice.
Sacramento had something good and then they ruined it.
The Suns. It's boring. I mean, it's just like a black jersey with Los Suns.
It's boring. It's boring. Orlando messed it up. The Knicks is also boring again. Yeah.
If you don't, that's the thing. I feel like if you don't have a good concept, you shouldn't be forced to release a city edition jersey. And by the way, speaking about making sure that you make the deadlines, congratulations to the Memphis Grizzlies. They are the only team that still don't have a city edition jersey.
They're not going to have one. They decided not to have one. But they are wearing the Vancouver Grizzlies jersey as a throwback. Yeah. So
there you go.
They get a pass.
They get a pass because they were able to identify that there was a better way of coming up with a third version of their jersey instead of trying to create a concept that probably wouldn't work.
So the only other jersey that makes me feel that gives me mixed feelings, and here's why, is a Clippers jersey. It has this iconic, let's call it that way, sort of tattoo graffiti Los Angeles script, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to celebrate Chicano culture, mm-hmm. right? And when they released it, there was a very, very cool video. It was actually made by Victory. Major shout out to Victory. Mm-hmm. Where and part of the video and the release of the jersey said, forget about the glitz and glamour, sort of a knock to the Lakers, uh-huh. you know, because we're more about, you know, being the glamorous team. Mm-hmm. They're celebrating, and I quote, la cultura.
Okay.
So like Mexican culture. Mm-hmm. I'm not Chicano. I'm Mexican Canadian, if anything. So I don't really fall there.
You. Soon to be Mexican Canadian. For now, you're Mexican.
No, full Mexican always. Yeah. I'm soon to be Canadian. I'm a permanent resident, so I'm honorary Canadian. Anyways, I don't know how to feel about, you know, that, you know, sort of describing Chicano culture with that font, mm-hmm. because it's usually used in, you know, video games and it's very stereotypical. That's my point.
Yeah.
But having said that, I might be entirely wrong. I might be seeing it from, I think they look cool because it reminds me of Grand Theft Auto.
Okay.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I think the whole time I was looking at it, I was like, wow, this reminds me of something, but I'm not sure what it is. And I think now that you mention it, maybe it's from... It's from there.
I see it, and I see Cypress Hill.
Yeah, Cypress Hill is another one. Yeah, that's right.
And those are... That's Chicano culture. And I mean, I guess they did it, right? I don't know how to feel. That's all I'm saying. I don't know how to feel.
Yeah.
It might be a good tribute, and I just don't see it. It's kind of cool. I don't know. I thought it was funny that they were like, okay, the Lakers are, you know, the rich kids, and we're going to be more of the people. I thought they got that right, but I don't know. I don't know where to stand on this one.
Yeah, but I think we both agree that there are several jerseys that are disappointing this year.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm very surprised of our picks, I have to be honest. I thought we were going to at least have... Well, the Miami jersey, we both agreed that it was nice.
Yeah, I would have picked that one if I didn't feel like I'm tired of the same concept for 3 years.
You contradicted yourself twice. A little bit.
But maybe the thing is that in the past seasons, I was always looking at the Miami Vice and then some other jerseys that were nice. And maybe the New Orleans Pelicans and the Nuggets, they kind of, you know, went by without getting noticed.
Also, Charlotte going gray, boring.
Which season was that they had a... Was it last season that they had a very nice City Edition jersey?
They're wearing the throwback. The Charlotte... From the 90s, basically. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just that we are getting old or...
If it's about time. That's a fact.
I always feel like when they wear the retro jerseys, I really, really enjoy that.
Yeah, we're getting
It's just
old.
Nostalgia, That's, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Fun. Absolutely. You know, we're millennials. We now have money. We know that we like to spend on things that remind us of our childhood. So they're doing it, and they're doing it very well.
We have money.
Well, some money.
Okay.
If we wouldn't have a lot of money if we were asking for free jerseys on a podcast.
That's it. Even if it's a pizza, it doesn't need to be a jersey. Anything that it's free, you can send it here. I can give you guys the address where we're recording if you want.
No, because that's my place. Although, I don't mind free pizza, having said all of that. All right. Anything else on City Edition jerseys?
No, I don't think so.
Well, yes. You were going to say something?
I was just going to, mention a side story. I don't know if you remember, but I have one of my ex-girlfriends. She used to hate when...
Where is this going?
Wait. Because we were talking about the Mexican-Canadian thing.
Okay, go
and,
for it.
And one of my ex-girlfriends, she used to hate that every time someone asked me where I'm from, instead of saying I'm from Vancouver or I'm from Canada, I would always say I'm from Brazil, but I've been living in Canada for 13 years.
Okay.
And she always
Why
felt...
Why was she getting upset?
Well, because she was like, okay, you don't need to give these strangers... that much information. Just tell them that you're from Vancouver, because really it doesn't matter if you're from Brazil or not for them.
Okay.
And I was like, no, I'm always going to be from Brazil first. And then if something, I'm going to add Canada as a second, mention.
Right.
I'm from Brazil originally, but I have the Canadian citizenship whenever that happens. Right. And I hope we don't have any immigration officers listening to this podcast.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Yeah. I mean, that's up to you, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is not basketball, but why would she get upset? That's your decision to make.
Exactly. Well, probably that's why she's my ex-girlfriend, not my girlfriend
it's
anymore.
True, yeah. I think I know which one it is.
We're not going to mention any names.
No. Of course not. Mm-hmm. But I can see which one it is. I'm lucky because I can say that I'm Mexican.
Wow. Are you going to come up with a City Edition concept?
I should. I totally should do my own
jersey.
That's
a quality concept that you have right there. Mexican.
I know. I think Evans should get started on that.
That's like, we could even use that name for a canned Mexican food company.
I think it's been taken.
Mexican.
I can't be the first person to think of
frijoles, Mexican.
God, no. Please. No? And they have to be canned, right?
Yeah, of course. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense.
I think that's enough for today. As always, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever there's a rating service, please rate us 5 stars and leave us a review. Pretty please. Otherwise, Rafa will design your next basketball jersey, and you don't want that. If you are on social media, make sure you follow us at Dropping Dimes on Instagram, on Twitter at Dropping_Dimes1, Facebook.com/Dropping.Dimes1, because without the one, that's not us. Also, now that I think about it, we should track down whoever owns Dropping_Dimes and Dropping.Dimes on Facebook and Twitter and pay them just to get those usernames.
We just said that we don't have that much money. Why wanna pay people? We need to find people that wanna pay us.
I don't want the one at the end.
Okay.
You can visit our website, dropping-dimes.com. Or if you wanna send us an email, please do. It's very lonely over here. contact@dropping-dimes.com. This is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace out.